Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Ghidorah, the three-headed monster.
1964.
Right. Cool. It's yeah. Funny, I started watching it, I'm like, I don't recognize any of this. And I was like, I know I've seen it before. And it wasn't until a little bit later that I realized the Princess from Venus.
Yeah.
That's when I realized, oh, okay, I have seen this before. But it seemed all very foreign to me. I must have only seen it like once before. Yeah, my copy was garbage. A garbage copy. I thought I remember getting it off of a DVD that I had, but I guess not. They have it on the Criterion channel, and it looked awesome. And did you watch it on the Blu-ray?
Yes.
Yeah. It looks great.
Yeah.
And I like that the Criterion goes in and updates the subtitles. I feel like they take them and give them a little bit of more of a, not necessarily a modern spin, but it's definitely, it feels like the dialogue is tight.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's definitely way easier to read like the Criterion translations than like some of the older stuff.
So now your crappy version, was that dubbed or was it subtitled as well?
I didn't even make it that far.
Okay.
I was like in the middle of the credits and it looked cropped.
Yeah.
Like, cause it has some like,
Cause like right at the start you see the Toho scope.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, that's cool. That's good.
Yeah. And it just looked, it didn't look, I was like, oh, this looks bad. Yeah. We only have so many Godzilla movies left. I'm not watching an awful looking version of it.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Can you hear that, by the way?
I did. I just heard that.
Okay, I'll try to.
Someone's at the door.
I think I can edit it out, but we'll see.
You do?
I think I can, yeah. Because if you're talking, then I could just dump my audio. And when I'm talking, hopefully it's not when they're banging. So we'll see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the guys downstairs.
All right. Well, good luck.
I guess they're back. Yeah, I know. Good thing I have plenty of time.
We can try and looks like they take pauses. We could also we can try and pause for noise every now and again to try and.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll work around it.
Since you're going to be working on it anyways.
So the opening credits has like I think footage.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah, the opening credits is like spoilers.
Yeah, I thought it was footage from previous movies, but
no, it's like
here's what's in store. Maybe we've seen this footage in later movies.
Yes, yeah. We did. There's definitely, in fact, I had something happen. I was like, "That, why did I get deja vu when I saw that?" And I was like, is this from something else as well? Did someone else meet the same demise? I don't know. But yeah, there's definitely, it reminded me because like when you were talking about this movie and you were like, hey, have you seen the poster? Don't look at it. Because there's spoilers in the poster. And I mean, I looked at it anyways. Yeah. But it's like, even if I wasn't spoiled, you get spoiled in the opening credits because it tells you everybody's going to be in it.
Right. Right. It's the lineup from Godzilla King of the Monsters 2018 or whatever. It's Rodan, Mothra, yeah. Godzilla, yeah, yeah, and King Ghidorah. But we don't get Mothra the Moth.
Right.
What we do get is one of the first things you see is a miniature airplane, which I love. I love the miniature airplanes.
Yeah.
They never look real, and I like that they never look real. And I love when they explode, I mean jumping ahead a little, that it looks like balsa wood.
Yeah, I mean yeah, and it's so there's so many strings you see in this movie.
Oh yeah.
There's so much of that. There's some weird. I was like, there's a one part where Godzilla's behind a mountain, and it's like is it a puppet? It's moving very mechanical.
Yeah.
It's like, is it a robot? Is it like a wind up?
It's like a one piece. It doesn't. Yeah. It all moves in like one
second. It's like the arms move very, very robotically, and it's like it's just for like a split second. You see it.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely saw that. Which I guess makes sense for the wide shots when they're far away. They can scale them down so it looks far away.
Yeah.
But there were some close up shots with that same thing, and I'm like, that's interesting. Maybe they felt like they could get away with it. I don't know.
So there's this group of people who are studying UFOs.
Yeah.
And they're having a special little night session up on top of this building, trying to see if they can get communication. And there's a reporter who's there. And she's not really a believer.
Right.
And they blame her for the fact that it didn't work. And they couldn't get the communication.
Mm-hmm.
They told her that basically the aliens or the UFO people sensed her mistrust through her brain waves, and that made it not work. I love the UFO guy, the guy who was like the head researcher of the UFO stuff, that older dude.
Yeah.
Also, when they start getting a message, or when they start seeing like the UFO show up, which kind of looks like a meteor shower,
right?
They're all gathered and they're all looking through like telescopes and stuff. And in the background is a great little model of a flying saucer that's on this really great long stand pedestal thing.
I didn't notice.
It's really cool looking. And then later, there's there's a shot of that guy's desk.
Yes.
And he's just staring at the camera saying stuff. And he has another model. Same kind of thing. It's on this really high pedestal that kind of comes up to like a point. It almost looks like it looks like the Space Needle in a way, where it's like it gets really skinny and then you see the thing sitting on there.
Yeah.
There's another one there too, some other kind of weird UFO thing that's like suspended in the air.
The one looks like the ships from the Mysterians.
Could be.
It kind of has that manta ray sort of shape to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That looks like the ships from the Mysterians, and it made me think that it might have been a prop from the Mysterians.
Yeah, I think either of them could have been. Who knows?
Yeah. But the colors on it were so vivid that it made me want to see a good version of Mysterians.
Really, really a lot of yellow. Yeah, it's really.
Yeah. Weird. So this princess, who I know from the James Bond movie, You Only Live Twice, she's been in a couple of these movies. Her henchmen were dressed.
Yeah. Okay. That whole, I forgot what the name of that place was that she's from. Yeah. The whole culture in there was, the costume was very, very interesting.
So Stevie thought that they were from Venus, and I said no. Someone from Venus like overtook her body and is
scenes.
Yeah, so I don't know why what country she's from where those guys are dressed like that,
right? It's a made up country, right? I forget what it's called. We should find out what
it's called. It's fine. Yeah,
that was crazy. But
the dude with the sunglasses looked awesome in his outfit.
The outfits are basically, it's kind of like dressy Indian, like South Asian, like Indian garb with Elizabethan collars.
Yes. You ever see that video game called Katamari Damacy?
Yeah.
Where it's just a guy and you're rolling a ball and it gets... Yeah.
You roll and you pick stuff up.
There's like a prince or a king in that game
that
wears a very similar outfit.
Yeah.
But
and then the guards in the background are also in the garb, but with Santa Claus hats.
Yeah. Did you notice their skin color?
Oh, that they were made brown?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Because I have blackface Santa as one of my notes.
Oh,
it's bad. Oh, and then the thugs, like when they're not dressed in that stuff, when they're dressed in suits and they're running around getting into shootouts, one of the guys is very, very dark.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I mean, could he just be, could he be dark? I mean, is it definitely blackface?
It looks unnatural.
Okay.
But I don't know. So this princess, she's got like this, the country she's from is wants to kill her. They have a hit out on her.
Right.
And she ends up walking out of the airplane.
Wait, hold on. The name of the place is Selgina.
Oh. Yeah, totally fake name. When she walked out of the plane, I thought that was hilarious. And then the plane immediately exploded.
Like, instantly.
Right. Right. This movie... Okay. So, this movie's nuts. At first, you're like, okay, it's like a sci-fi movie because there's like aliens and stuff and the UFOs. But then it's also like mystical because you have the Mothra fairies.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of serious later when you're following the government. It's like all three types of Godzilla movies in one.
Sure.
And it's kind of out of control. Okay, can we talk about where are they now?
Selgina is a small fictional monarchy located in the Himalayas.
Oh, that and those collars help them keep them warm?
It is possible that Selgina may be based off the real Indian prince of Sikkim, which is situated in the foothills of the Himalayas. Interesting. Sort of.
So there's a TV show called Where Are They Now?
Okay. Right.
So the two hosts who are very bizarre.
I wonder, like, I feel like there's a good chance that those they could have been a comedy team back in Japan during the day, the way it seemed.
Right. And they bring these two kids out, and I thought to myself, if you and me were 5-year-olds, and we would walk out on that stage, we would have said the exact same thing when they asked us what celebrity we wanted to meet.
I feel like I would have gotten very sad when they told me that the first Mothra had died. And the kids are just going, oh, well, what about the other one?
Yeah.
I love all the long shots. They have dolls of those two women.
Right.
And it's great because they're like kids' dolls. They're the kind of dolls that have the heads are bigger than proportion of the bodies.
Right. I love those kids. And when
The twins from Infant Island, are just doing TV appearances now.
That's the thing. The kids say they want to see Mothra, and everyone laughed. And I'm like, oh, that sucks. These kids want to see Mothra, and then they bring the twins out.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, why'd everyone laugh? So yeah, I guess they're doing that. They're interesting in this movie.
Yeah.
They kind of just
also you get a different song.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with this song.
It's like the love theme.
The music I'm familiar with is... Yeah. Okay, so we watched the whole...
It sounds familiar, but it's not the Mothra song that we know.
No, but they do the whole performance. And then as soon as they cut away back to the dining room, the music that continues from that point on sounded... I know that music.
Yeah.
It's like the sort of more sad Mothra song. And what's great about the Criterion version is that they give us the lyrics.
Yeah.
To this Mothra song. And it's all about being sad and needing to smile.
In fact, there was a thing that talked about how in the American version of this movie that they don't do the song at this. I think at the first part, they don't actually do the song when they're doing the stage show.
Okay.
They basically take what the song says and they make it like they're just talking about Mothra and stuff during that time.
That's probably why I don't remember the song.
I think there's still the song later, maybe. Yeah. When they play it all over again? Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for that to be like, oh, maybe that's like You know how like some songs have like an opening
like a
that
preamble?
People aren't really familiar with,
right.
And then you get into the real song, you're like, oh, this is the part I know.
Right.
And like especially like old songs of this era, at least like an American song, there's a lot of stuff like that yeah. came out where they'd be like, they're like, oh wait, that song starts like this. Sometimes you hear like songs like that'll have, and I thought it was going to be that, and something was going to then lead into the Mothra song we know, but that wasn't the case.
Right, it didn't happen. It's not my favorite Mothra song.
Well, no, it's not as catchy.
Nah. And it's sad. The lyrics are sad. Okay. So this is a Godzilla movie. And it's weird that Godzilla's not in the title. But can we talk about the introduction of Godzilla in this movie? Other than the opening credits?
But doesn't Rodan show up first?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so hang on a second then. Because okay. the Rodan appearance I kind of enjoyed. The
Rodan on the whole was insane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is such a clusterfuck in the big group fight at the end. It's like, what is happening? So the princess reappears and she starts being a prophet. And she's like, people that kind of make fun of her. By the way, did you see that baseball team? I think their jersey said the Bulldogs.
I didn't see it.
That's like part of the big group in the first crowd when the woman's like,
they're like the
warning
two,
people.
The two dum-dums?
They were like some, no, there was the guys, they were kind of out towards the right in the crowd scenes. Okay. But yeah, there wasn't the guy who like didn't know what, you know, where Venus was or anything like that. It wasn't like that guy.
It was a place.
But so there's that part when they're all watching, they're all at the big crater and they're taking pictures of the big crater.
Right.
And the one guy loses his hat. And she's like, don't. You know, and this guy is like, hey, I'll go down and get it for you. And it almost seems like this is the job this guy has kind of like given himself.
Right.
Like he's like, hey, you know what? Hats fly off here all the time. I could totally do this as a service and make some money. And he gets talked down from 700 yen to 200 yen to go get this guy's hat.
Right.
And when she tries to stop him, I like his response here was going, shut up, crackpot. You put me out of business. Because yes. It was like, I was like, oh, this is his business?
This is his like, gig. This is his hustle.
His gig is saving hats.
It's a pretty good gig.
Well, at that place, it's definitely not useful.
Now. Rodan. So Stevie's kind of walking in and out of watching the movie. Which she was,
yeah.
Or she was reading or something. And she looked up when Rodan was revealed.
Yeah.
And then Rodan opened his mouth super wide and
super wide.
Let out a yell. And Steve went, oh!
Yeah.
Freaked out.
Rodan's weird looking.
Rodan, is weird looking? Okay, so...
Is this a different Rodan?
So Stevie asked, when Rodan's flying around, is it a different puppet? I don't know.
Yeah, I wondered.
I don't know. When Rodan's flying around, he makes a noise. And Stevie asks, what's making that noise? And I said, I don't know, his muscles? Because it didn't make any sense. He's like, it sounds like a jet engine. Okay. And I like that it's my autocorrect change Rodan to Rodman. Okay, Godzilla's entrance.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
Were you confused? Were you confused at first?
About Godzilla's entrance?
Yeah.
Well, you mean because of the whales?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's like it cuts to a ship, and then there are these whale puppets.
Right, and I'm like, wait, is that Mothra? It doesn't look like Mothra. What is
that?
Yeah,
I was like, oh, is this another creature that we haven't seen? Or, are somehow the aliens controlling the whales, and the whales are going to destroy this ship?
No, it was Godzilla hunting whales, right? Does Godzilla eat whales?
Oh, I don't know if he...
Because they were going away from Godzilla, for sure. But I wonder, like, if Godzilla eats whales. I mean, he could. Have we seen Godzilla eat?
No, we've never seen him.
I don't remember ever seeing him eat. Maybe he might have eaten a person or something.
Might have eaten a person. That's all I can think of. It might have eaten a person.
And then, like, in the 98 one, he eats, or she eats fish. But, I mean, Godzilla chasing whales was awesome. But at first, I'm like, what is this monster? I don't recognize it. And then I realized it was whales. And I was like, oh my gosh.
And then Godzilla just destroys the ship, like, instantly.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is a bad Godzilla.
Right. Oh, okay. So I know King Ghidorah's coming.
Yeah.
So I'm like, anytime King Ghidorah's in the movie, Godzilla has to be the good guy. Because King Ghidorah's always the bad guy.
Bad.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, if Godzilla's just going to take out a random boat, is he going to be on the same side as King Ghidorah? I couldn't figure it out. Later, we'll get into that talk.
Yeah, about here, it's where I remember that I made a note being like, all right, so you go to a movie that's called Ghidorah, the Three-Headed Monster, and you're sitting there, you're at halfway point, and so far you've seen Mothra, Rodan, and Godzilla.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out if that makes me like it or not.
You know what?
Like it.
You know, I would like it more if the opening credits didn't have the monsters in it.
Yeah, if they were surprises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when we saw Frankenstein Conquers the World. Is that what Frankenstein Conquers the World? We didn't. I didn't know
that Baragon
was in it. Yeah. So, like, if you go to see a movie called Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster, you don't know. And you're like, oh, cool, Rodan's in it. That's neat. But then you get the other two. Like they all seem like really cool reveals, especially the Godzilla reveal. So putting in that opening credits really kind of messes things up. A lot of shootouts in this movie.
Oh man! So the henchmen, the ruffians, I loved them. They had this quality like they were enjoying playing henchmen in those suits.
Yeah,
because they were cool. Almost like they almost could have come out being like, or like being like flipping coins.
Yeah,
and like doing real like cartoony henchmen looks. You know, like when the guy comes over and he's got like they all got big shoulders, and the guy comes over and he starts looking at the lock. He's gonna go like. He's going to, like, pick the lock.
It's almost like they're playing American movie henchmen. Like, they've seen how they've done it in America.
Yeah, they're basically, they it's like, it's almost, they're, like, they're doing, like, a goof on us.
Yeah, and then every time there's a shootout, the reporter lady is always just kind of wandering around in the middle of the shootout. It happened a couple times, and it's weird because the fairies, seems to have the fairies most of the time, and she's just like walking them around from place to place. The fairies just kind of keep on ending up at the...
Everybody is. Well, after they decided they weren't going to go on that boat.
Yeah.
After the she had warned about the boat, the fairies are like the only ones who like believed her.
Yeah. We hear the Mothra song again. And is it like I didn't pay too close attention the first time around?
I think it's the same thing.
Is it the exact same?
I didn't watch them side by side, but I think it was the exact same thing.
Yeah. That was weird. That little Mothra larva, when it started getting up to leave, it just kind of just lunged up and down and then like kind of flopped around. This is the movie.
This is the formation of King Ghidorah. We've seen it before. Oh,
yeah.
It still looks cool.
Right.
That kind of, you know, the animation, it's almost like the Rise of a Phoenix kind of like flamey kind of thing. Yeah. And then cut to him and he's like, he's moving every single thing he can move.
I like the necks in this one.
Yeah.
Ghidorah's necks are a little more rigid. They don't flop around as much.
Although at one point it almost looked like they got twisted for a second. Sure. It's just puppeting. It's just like strings moving in. So,
yeah.
You know, who knows how many people are controlling the whole thing.
Right.
So then we get the Godzilla Rodan fight.
Yes. And this is the, I've seen the GIF a lot, the animated GIF of Godzilla being dropped crotch first on the power line.
Classic.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, okay. It's from this.
Rodan pecks his head a lot. You know,
with his goofy eyes, it doesn't look threatening.
The Godzilla's goofy eyes or Rodan's goofy eyes? Yeah. Well, Godzilla also had interesting eyes where, like, his eyes, it was like they did like a cover of his eyes, like a plastic eye cover, and inside there the eyes would move underneath,
mm-hmm.
but it always kind of had this layer on top that kind of, it was kind of weird looking.
Like a contact lens?
Like looked, really yeah, thick. It looked like, it was cool because it made him look like a doll, like a toy, and it was kind of cool. But, So, the plan to defeat King Ghidorah, after everyone has kind of like come up with what they, you know, possibly don't know what they can do, is to get Mothra to convince Godzilla and Rodan to join forces in King Ghidorah. And that's what the twins from Infant Island is going to basically get Mothra to do.
Right. And they translate the whole transaction. Or the whole interaction, I should say.
Yeah, they speak every...
Well, this is after they both get sprayed in the face by Mothra, which was hilarious. Because when Rodan was getting sprayed in the face by Mothra, the head was moving around so much. It was so hilarious. That might have been one of my favorite moments, was watching Rodan try to get the stuff off of his face, because he doesn't have
it. What I did like about the song and the reprise of the song, it had a very 60s, like remember like in the 90s when lounge music got popular again?
Right.
And all those like exotica type of records became reissued on CD. It's very much like one of those records.
Yeah, I told Stevie it felt kind of like Tiki Room era, like something or from South Pacific. Like
yeah.
It sounded like that kind of tropical music. We get Godzilla sitting, which is one of my favorite things.
They're so bickery, and they're so like, they're like children.
They say, we don't care. They said they don't care about Ghidorah. They just want to be able to fight each other in peace.
Yeah. And they're like, fine, we'll do it, but you got to apologize first. No, he has to apologize. There's so much...
I wonder how much the Mothra twins were making that up, the conversation up.
Just
like, can they really translate? Can they really understand what those three monsters were saying?
I mean, do we really want to get into it?
No.
I'm guessing it's like, maybe they don't know exactly what the words are, but they can kind of get the feeling.
Do you think it's a thing where they had to put the dialogue in so people knew what was going on? They needed the commentary?
Like later they got notes.
Yeah.
Like this scene between them is really long and we're not really getting what's going on here. Yeah. And they're like, it's like, when did they start talking to each other?
Yeah, I don't know. What movie? There was the movie, I think it was Gigan. Godzilla versus Gigan, where Angulus and Godzilla
were talking. All right, that's after this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like maybe like 10 years later.
That's something they tried later. Okay.
But, I mean, yeah, we've seen them shout at each other a couple times. But, yeah. King Ghidorah invades this little town, which looked amazing. And there's a little tiny car that got crushed.
The bridge? Wait.
It would look like it almost looked like a little German village.
Oh, okay. The town. The little town bit was good.
Yeah.
The bridge was amazing.
Yes.
So the bridge, and they had the little cars going on it, and King Ghidorah is like in the background. And then you don't see it again in it until he knocks Godzilla into it and Godzilla destroys it.
Right.
So great.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, so the princess gets taken to see this doctor.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like saying, nope, she's not lying when she says she's from Venus, or she's not, you know, she seems to be telling the truth. But don't worry, we got these other tests we can find out for sure. You know, we'll just go, basically, we'll go into your subconscious, essentially. So basically they have her in like this like hypnotic state where they can talk to her and then she can respond. Even though she's technically asleep, she can still talk. And between the first test and like the second test, she's now under a sheet and she appears to be naked under that sheet.
Right.
And I was like, wait a minute. Why did they have to take her clothes off for this part? And then when they're escaping the lab, the doctor shows up and he's like, is this how he dressed her up again?
Maybe.
It's like, don't worry, I put her clothes back on. You know, that doctor is a latch. By the way, did you recognize that doctor? I didn't recognize him at first.
He was. No. He's not the guy.
He's like our favorite old guy from these movies.
Yeah, the Dr. Shirazawa.
Usually he has like facial hair and stuff. I didn't quite. It took me a while to realize it was him.
Shirazawa?
The actor?
Yeah, he played him, Dr. Shirazawa. Is it that guy? Does he usually have a mustache?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. A mustache, almost he's got a hat on.
Yeah.
He usually has a mustache or some kind of facial hair. Yeah, he's always like the expert. Did you think that window was opening by itself for a second?
The one that ran out during the shootout?
When the henchman sneaks into the room?
Yes.
Because the window, I was like, oh. Like, part of me was kind of waiting to see if we were going to get aliens. Like,
I know.
More aliens, except from just her.
Yeah, no. Not really.
Because she said that they'd been there for like 5,000 years already.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been cool. I feel like, I think this movie came out the year before Monster Zero. And so I think maybe that was a note that they got. We need to see the aliens. So they made the coolest aliens ever. But yeah, I'd wish they had shown them. Because that's usually a big part of these movies. Is we see the aliens. Whether they're cockroach people or ape men. Or just crazy costume people. But
Oh, hang on. I got to back up. The Rodan, when it's just Rodan and Godzilla fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And Rodan is pecking Godzilla's face and clawing Godzilla's face.
Mm-hmm.
And Godzilla can't get a leg up at all. And so he decides to kind of just turn around and bend over. And then he starts whipping Rodan with his tail. And then he finally gets the upper hand.
Yeah.
He starts using his tail a lot.
Yeah.
And then it looks like
slapping the little tips of the tail, not even like big swings.
Yeah, I sent you a clip of a video during that fight, being like, "Are they having sex at this point?" I didn't use the word sex. and what I also liked is when Mothra finally shows up, and they're in the background, and they're supposed to be like they're fighting, but they're not really fighting, and they're just kind of like. Dancing, basically. They're just kind of like jumping around and stuff in front of each other, but they're not doing anything. That's like right when they do the rock tennis and they just keep hitting a rock back and forth to each other. And there's a whole period of time of Mothra just sitting there watching the rock go back and forth.
There was the part where,
before she finally shoots him in the face,
where Mothra was getting shot by King Ghidorah and kept like flipping around spastically. I enjoyed that too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mothra got worked.
Yeah.
There's a before the translation of the of what Mothra was trying to communicate. There was the other person be like, it was like, well, what are they saying? And the guy goes, how would I know? I don't speak monster.
Yeah, that was a good one. That feels like a modern line.
Oh yeah. The other thing is that they say that part of the reason why Rodan and Godzilla don't want to help is because the humans are always bullying us.
Yeah. I guess they don't want to be shot by tanks and masers.
So Mothra can't convince them and ends up going to fight King Ghidorah on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere in Mothra getting her ass kicked, that Godzilla and Rodan have a change of heart and decide to jump into the fray.
Yes.
And Godzilla helps Mothra out of the hole or pit that she's stuck in for some reason because she's so messed up. He turns around and presents his tail for Mothra to grab onto and drags Mothra out by, you know, her chomping onto his tail to hold on.
That's got to be a toy. there has to be a toy that. It's. I was like, okay, Mothra holding on to Godzilla is the greatest thing ever until a couple minutes later. And the greatest thing happened and it made me so happy. And this is a toy that I want, is a Mothra larva on Rodan's back.
Oh, right.
That was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, with like a silly string attachment that could shoot.
Yeah.
It's so that she can reach the faces. when the assassin gets caught in the avalanche and dies,
mm-hmm.
There's that great, he kind of catches the one rock as he gets knocked off. Like, one rock basically hits him right in the chest. He kind of, like, catches it and falls backwards.
Yeah.
That was the thing where I was like, oh, that felt like deja vu.
Huh.
I almost feel like that's how someone died in Half Human.
Well, there was the poachers died in an avalanche in a truck, I think.
All right. Because I don't know, when I saw it, I was going, "Ooh, I've seen a guy catch that rock and die like that before."
I feel like maybe I watched this movie like right before we started watching or started doing the show.
Okay.
Because there was stuff that was definitely felt familiar. And then as I was watching, I'm like, "Oh shit, did we already do this movie?" I'm like, "No, we didn't do this movie. I don't remember doing this movie." That I was doubting myself. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we didn't do this movie.
Ghidorah zaps Godzilla in like the gut or the balls ish. You know, I don't know.
Somewhere.
Yeah, like kind of hits him a low blow with his lightning. Mm-hmm. It could be the balls because he just landed on that electric, the electricity tower thing that, you know, it could have been sensitive. Could just be kind of working that same spot. But this triple team fight, it's like, what is going on? It's so crazy.
Yeah, and then you have all four noises going off at once. That's like one of my least favorite things about Godzilla movies, is when they just have the noises on the loop, and they're like four of them at the same time. I think Godzilla versus Megalon's the worst one, where you just hear Megalon, Godzilla, Jet Jaguar, and Gigant just like nonstop. Looped noises. It's too much. Yeah, there's a part, I think, is it Rodan picks up Ghidorah and just drops him like on a rock or a stump or something?
Yeah.
That was awesome. He just like got it like right in the gut.
Just like bends, yeah.
Yeah, they just
dropped. Yeah, they're like luring him towards the water and stuff, and yeah.
I guess I stopped taking notes.
Yeah, me too. There was. I'm like looking at the older notes that we skipped. Like, it was like the way they talked about the encephalitis outbreak.
Yeah.
During the UFO bit, and it was like, oh, but it's barely addressed. They just kind of use it a little bit to try to like, knock the princess that she's, you know, she doesn't want to know what she's talking about. She may have encephalitis.
things like that. There's also, this movie had a potential Big Brother clock block. Like, I was like, it was close, and I was like, oh, can we get, because it's been so long since we've had one.
Yeah.
And this is right in the sweet spot of the eras where these were happening.
And there's a brother and his sister.
Totally. And it was that moment when she gets dropped off by the guy, and the brother catches it, and then he's like, hey, who's your new boyfriend? What's going on there? Kind of thing. And I was like, ooh, maybe we're going to get something. But we didn't really. Because later there was also the scene at the coffee shop.
Right.
And everyone orders Blue Mountain by name. And they get glasses of water.
Is that a... What is Blue Mountain?
I know it's a brand of coffee.
Oh, okay.
Like, I thought... Because it seemed like he said they were going to go get coffee. And then they said Blue Mountain by name. And I was like, is that coffee brand been around that long? And apparently it has. It's possible. But I don't know.
I don't have much. I don't have... I'm fresh out of notes.
Yeah, it's like... yeah, I'm out of notes too. There's like... yeah, and so then King Ghidorah just... They kind of beat him and they cover him with webs. And then... he breaks free and just flies away.
Yeah, that's it.
And into the sky, and that's that did it. You know, like, he doesn't die. They don't kill him. Gotta preserve him for future. And that's kind of it.
Yeah,
and then there's like the little like thank you for your help. I'm a princess again.
Yeah, and then she like. Recalled some of the stuff that happened.
Yeah.
Because she likes the dude. Like,
oh, you saved me three times. Yeah.
The and then Mothra's like, okay, cool, see you guys. And Mothra's like, goodbye. And then it like ends with kind of Godzilla and Rodan just still kind of standing there.
Yeah.
So like they just when go they back to fighting each other.
I think they have a lot of soul searching to do now.
Yeah.
Because they got to figure out if we're enemies or if we're friends. What's the movie that comes right after this one?
I'm pretty sure it's Monster Zero.
Perfect. See, because that's right where that's basically the King Ghidorah sequel.
Yeah. So he flies off into space, and then the people from Planet X take control of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
It's great. It's great because it's like, so this is the first one with aliens.
Probably.
Yeah, and they got better at aliens later. You know, it's like, oh, we should do something when we do aliens. We should give them better outfits.
Yeah. And then they peaked.
They spent all their money on the outfits for
so good.
From Salinga.
Like, those are the best alien outfits. I mean, some of the other ones down the line are great, but, like...
Oh, yeah, it's definitely the best. It's still the best.
Planet X aliens are
the sleek,
best.
Simple. It's just very... They're the best in their simplicity.
I kind of like that the princess is sort of... we've kind of seen this in Ashiro Honda's movies before, where you have like a female lead who's possessed and is very sympathetic.
Yeah.
But then also could be thought of as like the bad guy, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that happens in the next one, in Monster Zero. Where you have the alien girl,
oh, totally.
And they all look the same, and then she's like evil, but then she's also good,
right?
Like, yeah, we've seen that a couple times. I think that's interesting. Strong female characters.
So she was in a James Bond movie.
She was in You Only Live Twice. Yes, she does.
Oh.
And what was cool about watching this version of the movie was hearing her voice. Because she obviously has the same voice. She wasn't dubbed in the other movie. So it's kind of cool that, you know, I think the only time I've seen this was a dub. And so it wasn't her same voice. So that was kind of cool. Like, I was quoting lines from You Only Live Twice to Stevie. She's like, oh, yeah, that one. So.
Do you need to get that?
No. Yeah, let me go answer the floor.
Oh, we got lucky. It was like I didn't hear it till just now.
Yeah. So last episode we were talking about potential top five contender.
Right.
I don't think it's there.
Yeah, I think it
because
it may have thrown off my top 10.
Yeah.
It may have. I was kind of like there's a few things. Let's see. Yeah, it may have worked its way into my top 10. I don't know. There's stuff I liked in the plot, like the stuff, the non-monster stuff is pretty strong as far as like storyline and kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
That they, you know, assassination attempt stuff and then somehow getting possessed by the Venusians. You know, I thought that was kind of cool, kind of a fun story. It made me kind of address because like it made me have to look at that list. But I still think there's stuff that's in store that's going to definitely shift things anyways that you may not end up, it may not stay.
Yeah.
But I was moving some stuff around. In fact, I think I moved something off the list that like it didn't just kind of like find a spot and bump everyone down a bit. It actually kicked someone off, I think, in my thing. But we'll see. We like to be cagey and secretive.
Yeah,
about it.
For me, I kept thinking how like because you have the same lineup as Monster Zero, except this also has Mothra in it. But I kept thinking about Monster Zero and how much I love the aliens in that one, and I'm like, oh, this doesn't have aliens. And then the humans are I like in this movie, but the main female like alien girl. I liked more in that movie, and I like astronaut Nick and Glenn, or astronaut Glenn and I forget the other one's name, with the Nick Adams character.
Yeah.
So it's like I kind of like I kept thinking I'm like it's so close, but it's almost it sucks because you compare it to Monster Zero, and if we saw this before Monster Zero, I think I'd like it a lot more. So I don't know, but I
right. It. Well, it's for yeah. I am basically kind of like go head to head, go down the list, be like, does it beat this? Does it beat this? Does it beat this? Does it beat this?
Yeah.
And there's just some certain moves that I'm just kind of like more emotionally attached to than others. That I was going
Yeah, I feel like so, at this point in the show, we want surprises. Or you know, like something crazy. And it started off that way for me with the people with the frilly collars and stuff. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
this is gonna be nuts. And then it kind of like, leveled out.
Yeah, I like that. I like that whole I like when they create fictitious
yeah,
like the Cetropia. People of Mu and that all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I love that they're like, oh, we need to come up with some original weird costumes for these guys.
Weird civilization. It's almost like an answer to Half Human, how it got banned in Japan because they felt like some of the characteristics of the people were based.
Oh,
on
and they were like,
people.
Oh, we're just gonna make up someone completely new.
Yeah, we'll just do what we want.
Fine. Cool. They're like, fine, we'll just do something different.
Oh, you want something, you don't want it to reflect any real people? How about these guys with these collars and the sunglasses?
Yeah. You happy now?
Yeah. So I thought it was great.
I thought it was good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's, I think we only have like one more classic Godzilla movie left.
Oh, versus Mothra?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the contender in the wings that I feel like is definitely going to adjust the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, do you have your running top 10 right now? Like your 6 through 10?
I don't.
Oh, you don't? You just have a general idea?
I have kind of stuff in mind.
Mm.
Like, yeah. I definitely have stuff in mind. And they all seem to center around Ishiro Honda movies.
Sure.
And it's, yeah.
Understandable.
So, like, thinking about this one, I really liked it, but it's like, I like this other one over here. Like, I really, like, responded to it. And I think a lot of what takes my top 10 is the surprising stuff. The stuff I hadn't seen, you know, a dozen times before. And I think that's why Frankenstein Conquers the World. It's an amazing movie, but it completely, like, blindsided us.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, I get kind of more. Yeah, there's definitely a movie. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, I was like, I came up, like, I was when I was kind of like trying to figure out. I did a thing where I was like, all right, I want to know what I want to have my running 6 through 10.
Yeah.
And I ended up coming up with like a running 6 through 15, which is interesting because it gives me a lot of like just wiggle room where it's like going just like. It's almost like, I guess, like if a movie were to get into my personal list, if a movie slipped in, there might be a movie that's instead of shifting everything down, it might be like now this movie scratches the itch that this other movie scratched. And so it could possibly knock that movie out of the list completely because the other one is like a completely different direction, you know, like this one, but with apes or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of that happens.
Cool. Well, yeah, I can't wait. It's a couple more months. We'll find out. I'm excited. We have so many more movies. I mean, who knows how this
is. It really a couple more months only? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, what, we're in August, September, October, November, December, 4 months? Something like that? And then we'll see how that Godzilla versus King Kong shakes out.
Yeah, wherever that ends up.
Because, like, yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, I think about that whole thing.
Like, and how this whole disease shakes out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's almost, we're coming up on August, so maybe it's all done with.
Yep. Everything's opened. Everything's opened up again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right, let's talk about next episode.
Okay.
We are watching The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms.
Yeah.
It's from the director of Gorgo, a story by Ray Bradbury and stop motion animation from Harryhausen. So it's got a lot going for it. Check that out. Hopefully we'll be able to have a link for you on kaijupod.com. I don't know if we will or not, but head over there. It'll also have our links to our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. So, yeah. Until next time.
Until next time.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about this. You know,
I'm going to go take some pictures in front of that crater. hold on to my hat.
Hold on your hat. Here comes Rodan.
It's okay. If I lose my hat, I know there's someone I can use.
You know what I'm going to go do?
No.
I'm going to go do some whale watching.
Okay.
I should be fine.
Those whales seem distressed.
Oh. That's what I love about Ishiro Honda is when he does puppet animals. Just because.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah.
Like, I remember a lot of them being in Frankenstein. Or there'd just be, like,
has
a little
there
horse.
Been a, yeah, if there had been a retrospective, like, yeah, and this feels like this is probably, like, an era
people?
When, like, stuff got thrown away all the time. Like, how great would it be to be, like, a museum with, like, all, the, like, the whale models and the boar and the fake horse and the tank with the doll coming out of it. Like, if they had, like, a place where you could just kind of look at those things.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That would be kind of rad.
There's a show, and it's been out a couple months now, that I just started watching on Disney+. But, yeah, it's been out a couple months. it's called Prop Culture, and they just do all kinds of, like, hunting for different, like, models and props and costumes from different Disney movies.
Oh, do they like start with we want to hunt for this and they go
and find that one for an episode?
They just go
looking for props and they go, look what we found.
They do a couple of things. The first episode's Mary Poppins. And so he's like looking for like the original umbrella. In the meantime, he also knows where like the carpet bag is. And he knows where like the little girl's outfit is and the Mary Poppins outfit. And he'll take those things to either the person who designed it, who hasn't seen it in 50 years, or to the actress who wore that when she was a kid and stuff.
Wow. But they have
the second episode is Tron and like Bruce Boxleitner's on it. And they have the Nightmare Before Christmas one. That one is really cool. Cause it's all, you know, it's all miniatures and stuff.
All it is props.
But yeah, they have like Danny Elfman. They have a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So they have like the giant ant head animatronic they found. And Rick Moranis is on it. Like, it's crazy. It's like the coolest show.
You know, watching this movie also made me kind of think about the Pee Wee Herman sequence.
Yeah. In Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Right.
So I was like, how great would it have been if anyone who was actually involved with these movies actually was involved in that sequence, like if they were able to like kind of like an homage.
Why would Warner Brothers have that stuff? Like, not just in the movie universe, but like, how did that movie have access to those things?
I don't know.
It was going in 1985 that Warner Brothers had that stuff. It's hilarious. All right, let's get out of here. We'll go talk about Beast of 20,000 Phantoms.